and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast. Mm-hmm. Sorry if I sound stuffy. Yeah. Just gonna disclaimer, I am sick. Yeah. Asher's just getting over a sickness.
Yeah.
Been under the weather. Yeah. Traveling kind of took it out of us.
Yeah, we just got back from Ohio. Got some good stuff there. Got a wedding dress.
Got some good stuff. Yeah.
Got a wedding dress and we got a suit.
Yeah. We picked up my dress.
Yes.
I picked out my dress.
Yes.
A week after you proposed, but I had to order it in my size and I changed the color of it. And so we had to go pick it up.
Change the color of your wedding dress?
Yeah. So the one that I tried on was an ivory. So it was like an off-white, like cream color.
Oh, really?
And I ordered it in like a stark white. Yeah, there's different shades of white.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I didn't even know what it was going to look like until I got it.
Wow. So is it like bright white or is it?
It's like really, really white.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't like ivory.
Yeah. No. I'm glad you didn't go with like the tan.
Like the cream color. The cream,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Would have been smoking hot with it. Yeah. But. You know.
It was so funny. I went to go put it on and I walked out and my sister goes, "Don't start crying. I don't want to cry again." Cause she like bawled her eyes out when I tried it on when I got it. And then my mom like immediately was like, "Oh my goodness, it looks so much better in white." And I was like, "Yeah, it does."
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So.
Yeah. I kind of want to tell a story, honey.
Okay. What story?
So I was on Xbox with my brother the other day.
Okay.
And him and Bree were having a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I forget. Something happened and he said sorry for cussing. So those of y'all that scroll anywhere on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram, y'all know who this guy named Sketch is. So Sketch is this guy that plays Madden 24.
This is probably more for the guys.
It's more for the guys, but even girls probably know who he is. Those who have boyfriends, fiancés, or husbands have probably heard of Sketch because of their husbands or guys, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's a Twitch streamer, all that good stuff. So my brother goes, "Yeah, Bree and I have sometimes this lingo, like it's all Sketch's words. Like we'll say sorry for cussing and just all this other stuff." And I'm like, "Dude, it's so funny because Michelle and I do too." And he was like, "Oh, what do y'all say?" And I was like, "Well, we like to say keep it family friendly a lot of times."
Yeah.
And he's like, "In what way?" And I was like, "Well, Michelle and I haven't had sex yet. So sometimes we say something that we probably shouldn't be saying. And our code word now is let's keep it family friendly here."
Yeah.
And that's the story. It's just, it was just really funny.
It's not like, I want to disclaim also, it's not like dirty talk.
Yeah. It's not.
It's just like,
it's like, "Dang, honey, you're looking really sexy." And she's like, "Honey, family friendly."
Yeah.
And
it's like, not, oh, yeah. Sorry. It's not like dirty. It's just like the way that we like talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's
honestly a joke. It's not really.
Yeah.
It's not really a...
Is
it family friendly? I mean, I personally think...
Yes.
This is an opinion, but if I say, "Honey, you're looking really sexy," I would say that around my four-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, honey, we were in Ohio the whole weekend and around my nephews and my family, you were saying that to me.
So. And you know, people can disagree with me on that, but I think it's very healthy to compliment your significant other around young children because they need to know what that love is like.
And I will say...
Now, what I won't say is... Oh, I'm good. Actually, I'm not even going to say it, but... I'm not even going to say it. That's actually...
Super graphic. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I will say, when my oldest nephew saw you complimenting me and saying things, like I would look over at him just to see his reaction. Kaden, the younger one, didn't really care.
Yeah.
Like he was just like in his own world and just kind of like ignoring it. But Bentley was paying attention to what you were saying. And I would look at him every time you said something and he would be like smiling.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh my goodness." Like,
yeah,
he's witnessing you treat me that way. Uh-huh. And he's like, "Oh," like you could just see hope in his eyes that like it's possible for him to have that one day, you know?
It is so fun messing with them. They're 10 and 11 years old And it's so funny. Michelle will walk in the room and I'll be with them. And I'm like, guys, look how sexy your aunt is. Isn't she so hot? And they're like, what? No. And I'm like, no, she is. She's hot. And then Caden walked in on you changing this past week.
Oh, yeah. That was not good.
That was so funny. Because so she wasn't naked. Michelle wasn't naked. She was putting on a shirt. And Caden is just scarred for the rest of his life. We were playing football outside, and I didn't know anything about this. And he was getting his shoes, right? I told him to go. He was wearing like Crocs. And I'm like,
no, he was wearing his Hey Dudes.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, go put on your tennis shoes. And he's like, I don't have any. I'm like, dude, I'm not throwing you the. You're going to slip and fall, and your mom's going to get mad at me. And so he went to go put on his shoes, and he didn't even put them on the right way. Because he was scarred, I think. He runs outside. He's like, okay, I'm ready to play.
Like, well, I had to give him to him.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, okay, I'm ready to play now. And and then she comes to me later that day. She's like, yeah, he saw me changing. I was like, he just didn't even even tell me or anything.
It was so funny because he like opened the door and then he realized I was sleeping in his room. Yeah. So that's why. Because that's his room. So he just like went in there to grab his stuff and I was changing my shirt. He like looked at me like he was like a deer in headlights, like didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And then he felt really guilty because he's just that kid that's like, oh, now I'm a screw up, you know? So like he like threw a fit and I was like, it's okay. I was like, just give me a second to put my shirt on. And then I helped him get his shoes and he was fine. But
That brings me back to when I was like 9 or 10, I walked in on my mom changing.
I feel like you told me this story.
Yeah, and I felt so bad. Mom, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to walk in here. She's like, it's okay. What do you need? And obviously she was talking to me like as I closed the door again.
Yeah.
But I was so weirded out.
Yeah.
Like, man, walking in on somebody in your family changing is just the most awkwardest. It shouldn't be awkward. But it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Because Caden looks at you and he's doing this. And I'm like, I wish I could see that. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's complete opposite.
You're saying you wish you could see what
it's like, dude, you're getting a show. You're lucky.
Honey.
Sorry, family friendly. Let's get into the topic.
You'll see it in a month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also,
less than a month.
Couple of announcements. By the time this video comes out, we'll be 2 weeks away from our wedding. Kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
And the week after, right, you're going to see an episode with our pastor? Or is it
going to
be? Yeah.
And no. Then, no.
No?
No.
2 weeks?
It'll be the week of our wedding when we post his episode. No. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We're filming with our pastor soon, and I think it'll be really fun. So if y'all have questions that y'all want to ask our pastor, please DM Michelle and I, and we will try and answer them.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle and I already have a lot of questions. He's hilarious, just to put that out there. I laugh every single...
He is just, like, no filter.
Yeah.
But, like, in a okay way. Like, it's not, like, inappropriate. He just, like, says what's on his mind, and it's so funny.
So in church today... John was like, we had a pretty good turnout because we always go to the early service, we go to the 9:30, and he was like, it's pretty good turnout because it was spring break and daylight savings, so we lose an hour. And he was like, so this message really isn't for y'all because I know all y'all are saved. And then he was like, so, you know, when the rapture happens, you know, we'll be the first to go. And then, you know, everyone starts laughing and stuff like that. And he didn't say it this time.
No.
But
he would have.
Yeah. This time he was like, you guys know I'm just kidding. But usually what he'll do is he'll say, you know, I'm just only being serious.
Yeah.
Because we think he's going to say, like, you know, we know you're kidding. And him being like, y'all know I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Like, it puts more of an emphasis on like, okay, this is actually a joke.
Yeah.
He's just very
like, he said something about his wife and he said when she like thinks she's irritable.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, you know, like all the time. And then everyone was laughing, you know. Yeah. And then he was like, you know, I'm only being totally serious.
Yeah.
And then just like continued into his thought. Yeah. Like it was like, he didn't say anything.
When he says stuff like that, it's almost hard to keep following because it's just so funny. Yeah. And he's so nonchalant with it.
Yeah. He's just, and like, if what he did today, like we were talking about Bible history and there was just like a lot of words he didn't know how to pronounce. Yeah. And he was like, I'm going to pronounce a lot of these wrong. And it doesn't matter,
yeah.
You know, yeah, like, and everyone's cares. Laughing, uh-huh. Like, oh, he's so funny. Yeah. And then he's like butchering every yeah. word.
Yeah, I forgot one of the words, but then he said it, and then he said like another law term. Remember? It was one of the last ones.
It was juvenile. Yeah, and then he pronounced it juvenile, and then he said delinquent.
Yeah.
And then he moved on to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really funny. So what we're trying to say is please tune in
because it's
going to be a really good episode because he's a hoot.
Yeah. I like talking to him after the service and he is a very joyful person as well.
Very, very. And he remembers like everyone.
Yeah.
That's so special. Like pastors talk to so many people and he's only talked to us since we started going there and we didn't even talk to him for like the first couple months.
No, we didn't. Yeah.
And so we haven't really had that many conversations with him. But like when we were leaving today, Asher patted him on the back and he turned around and said, hey guys, like he knows who we are.
Yeah.
So I think it's just really special. Like being in charge of mm-hmm. such a big church and like knowing people, you know, I think that's so good.
I like to tell him he always does a good job. Like the message we had today, was it really, did we gather a lot from it? I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, it was a bunch of like very basic apologetic stuff that mm-hmm. you go over when you're just a believer. But I still wanted to say you did a really good job because mm-hmm. you don't know if people say that at all to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just him having a big church doesn't mean that people come up to him and say, hey, you killed it.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah.
And I always like to encourage people.
Yeah.
So, all right, honey. Now that y'all have heard our 30-minute story, I know y'all enjoy it. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
We need a buffer for some of these messages because
some of them are hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Like this one. Hot and heavy. Like a hot dog stand.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's what they say at hot dog stands, hot and heavy.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're making it a thing.
Okay.
Hot and heavy. Merch coming soon.
Just put a big hot dog on it.
Yeah, just put a big hot dog on it. Big wiener.
Honey.
Big throat missile. That's what they call them in golf. They
call them, family friendly, honey.
They call them a throat missile in golf. They're what? Like, you want to get a throat missile at the turn? You never heard that before?
I think I have, but it was from you.
Yeah. Okay. You okay over there?
My eyes are watering. I'm crying.
All right.
All right. So what are we talking about today, honey?
So actually, there needs to be a story for everything. It doesn't have to be, but there's going to be a story for this one.
Are you going to talk about how we came to this?
Yeah, we're going to talk about how we came to this.
Okay.
So I'm just going to be real with you guys. Business for me has not been good the past month and a half. Just hasn't been. I've lost thousands of dollars, and it's not my fault and it's not my client's fault. To tell you the truth, it's not really anyone's fault. It's mm-hmm. just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if y'all didn't know, I am an online fitness coach. It's what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I coach people how to get in very good shape.
Yeah.
Whether this is they're trying to put on weight, whether they're trying to lose weight, whether they're trying to get stronger, whatever it may be, I have helped hundreds of people worldwide. And now they're in very good shape, and I pray that they're still doing well. But
and if you're listening to this and you're like, that's me, application's in the description.
Yeah,
I'm going to plug for him.
Yeah. Well, usually the application...
It's always there.
Yeah, it's always there.
It's the first thing.
We never talk about what's in the description. Guys, if y'all want to buy my merch, if y'all want to be coached by me, if y'all want to donate to us, Follow us on all socials.
The Bible study that we do every other Monday.
Yeah, the Bible study in my community, that's run by myself and one of my really good friends, Matthew. Like, all of it's down there in the description. Mm-hmm. Like, everything you can get plugged into. Mm-hmm. If y'all want to give to us generously, whatever, it's all down there. Mm-hmm. All right. So, anyways, so business has not been going well. So Michelle and I were on a walk, and Michelle and I talk about everything, as y'all should know by now. So I was telling her, I'm like, yeah, like, this is just not fun. Like, I thought I should be helping people, and I don't know. Maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing if it's like this. And I was walking her through, like, what people tell me, what I hear, and because as much as people on the internet like to say, oh, I just don't listen to the comments, I just don't listen to the hate. It's BS. Mm-hmm. It's your profile. Mm-hmm. You care a little bit about the feedback you're getting. Mm-hmm. So something that I get a lot is, oh, you're just a fitness coach, and you're just tagging Jesus' name along with it to, you know, get more money or whatever they say.
Yeah.
And that hurts me because I'm like, well, no, this is just my assignment that I believe God's given me. Mm-hmm. And I need to help his children.
Yeah.
And it hurts when people just make an assumption, being like, oh, you're just tagging Jesus' name to something just to make money. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to Michelle about this on our walk, and she was like, well, you're helping them with their sin. And I was like, oh my goodness, I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. Because although, we'll get into this, but gluttony in the Bible doesn't say gluttony is a sin. It mm-hmm. doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. Directly. Mm-hmm. However, we can get into it later, but it does indirectly say it is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same. It's kind of in the same realm as in, like, eating your, this is an extreme example, but eating another human doesn't explicitly say in the Bible that it's a sin. Mm-hmm. However, it indirectly is a sin. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to want to eat someone that is made in God's image. Like, that's not
right.
That, like, it's not explicitly said in the Bible. However, it's an indirect, like, sin. It doesn't mm-hmm. please God at all. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with gluttony. So we were on our walk, and she was like, yeah, honey, you're helping them with their glutton issues. This isn't talked about in church. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, you're exactly right. This isn't. And some people have reached out and said, hey, I've actually heard a message on gluttony. Great. Mm-hmm. I never have.
Yeah, neither have I.
I've been in church for 2 years now. I never have. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be talked about a little bit where they'll sprinkle it in there, mm-hmm. but it's never, hey, we're gonna talk about your overeating issues.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Michelle on our walk, and her and I were both saying, pastors love to talk about their messages. Oh, you got to tithe, and mm-hmm. you better not have sex before marriage, and, mm-hmm. you know, wait on God's timing, and don't lust. You know, we talk about all these things. I don't want to say it's like the popular sins, but it's the sins that people need to be constantly reminded of. But one thing we leave out is gluttony. Mm-hmm. And so it was just very encouraging to talk to Michelle about it, because she was like, you're that outlet that people can go to mm-hmm. when they're struggling with this specific sin. Mm-hmm. Because when you go through marriage problems, who do you go to, honey? You go to a counselor or a therapist,
yeah.
right? When you're having addiction problems with alcohol or weed or whatever, where do you go? Mm-hmm. You go to AA. However, when there's a gluttony issue and you're addicted to food, I'm just going to be completely transparent with you guys. The doctor's office is not the place to go. Mm-hmm. It's the gym and researching online how to have a proper nutrition. Mm-hmm. The weight loss pills and all that BS you see that they're trying to sell you on, big pharma guys, they're not on your side.
Your morning apple cider vinegar drink is not going to help you lose weight.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's so many things that people have, like, yeah. concocted together yeah. to, like, burn fat, and yeah. it's like, no, it's literally your calories and you not exercising.
Yeah. And I'm not here to, you know, bash doctor's offices or whatever. That's not what I'm here to do. But what I am here telling you is that if you think that the solution to your problem is going to a doctor and say, why do I eat so much? I think the real problem is you not reflecting on what your habits are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes down to you're overeating when you really shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And also what that boils down to is self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just with what I've gathered from our conversations, I'm also I'm probably going to make a sermon series about this on my YouTube channel. But what I've gathered is I think people struggle with the pride issue of not wanting to tell people, hey, I struggle with the self-control of overeating.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
We like we literally just had this conversation 3 minutes ago. There are men that are open about lusting after other women when they're married. And it's because it's a common thing. You know, people are, I don't know why people are so common and open to talk about it. I mean, it sucks. But, you know, I was even telling Michelle, I'm like, if there's a girl in the gym that's wearing revealing clothing, like a bra and spandex, I don't work out anywhere near her. I change up my workout because I know what that causes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm going to act on anything, but it's like, it's there. Why don't I just remove myself from the situation?
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, the people that are overeating and stuff, why don't you ask for help? Ask a coach, like someone like, I'm not saying that I'm the right coach for you, but there are tons of coaches out there that are willing to help you, and come to them with your vulnerability and say, yeah, I struggle with overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to change. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop shaming people for wanting to come forward about their issues. Mm-hmm. in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story. Had to give all that context for you guys because that's how this episode came upon us.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read a couple of anchor verses and then we're going to get into it, honey. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is Proverbs 23. We're going to start at verse 19. My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. Do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons. For they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them in rags. Sorry. And then I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 16. If y'all have read the Bible, y'all know this verse, but I'm going to read it again. I wish I knew it by heart, but I don't. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So in essence, your body is your temple that God gave you. Okay. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is what is gluttony to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
So gluttony is basically eating more or indulging more than you should and having the desire to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give y'all an example, and this is gluttony's. We're gonna get in this. Gluttony's way more than food. But you're seated at the table, and you have a plate of food, and you finish the plate of food, and you're satisfied and you're full.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have leftovers on the stove, but you're full. However, your desire is that taste of that food, so mm-hmm. you go and get that more servings or whatever when your body doesn't even need it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting it just because you have the desire for that taste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that brings up a really good point because now I knew when I was going to say something about that, stuff was going to just keep on flowing in. All right. So you have the desire of taste for food. The reason why I say gluttony is more than just food is because it can spill over to other things. So let's take pornography, for example. All right, let's say you struggle with that stuff and you watch it and all that stuff happens and you're like, I have the desire to do that again. So then you keep on going back to it and going back to it and going back to it. However, that started with you overeating in the kitchen to begin with. Because your habits in the kitchen will spill over to other things. And I think that's why it's kind of like indirectly not talked about as sin. Because it's like, it's more so along the lines of self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had the self-control to not get that extra serving, and you were like, I don't have the desire to do this, then you wouldn't have the desire to do that same thing with pornography. I mean, you shouldn't be doing pornography to begin with, but
I have a quote from John Bevere that I think will really sum that up.
Okay, here we go.
The more we lack holy fear, the more our discernment dulls.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So your discernment for that self-control to stop yourself starts in one area and it spills over to a bunch of different areas.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can spin this off anywhere.
Yeah.
We can spin this off with, you know, you overeat in the kitchen and then you go to the gym, you see some pretty girl, your wife's at home, she doesn't see you, you start working out next to her, right? And you're like, I kind of like working out next to her because she looks good. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. And this all started because you had a lack of self-control of you controlling yourself in the kitchen, so it spills over into the gym. Before you know, this is an extreme example. Just going to put that out there. However, happens. And before you know it, first it was you in the kitchen. Now it's you with this other girl in the gym working out next to her. Then you actually start a conversation with her. Then next thing you know, you stop wearing your ring to the gym so she doesn't think you're married. Then she starts flirting with you. Then you go out to dinner with her. And then you get a divorce from your wife. And because you didn't stop overeating in the kitchen, because you didn't have the self-control to, you know, stop yourself in the gym. Yeah. It all started with that. So, yeah, that's a really good quote, honey. And we can spin that over so many things. And I think that's why it's actually talked about so much in the Bible, just gluttony in general.
Yeah.
Because
it's just over excess of anything.
Yeah, of anything. Yeah.
Like in the Bible, they're talking about food and drink. Yeah. So this is also wine for the people that can't control themselves having one glass. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is something that that's how alcoholics get started, right? Is they can't stop after one. They need an excess amount.
Correct, yeah.
And we should be looking at the overconsumption of food similar to that. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you're still clear-minded, right, when you overeat, but you're destroying your body.
Yeah.
Because your body can't handle that much food. And it can't break down that much food. Mm-hmm. And you're storing all of it.
Yep.
And that's what's causing you to be overweight, right? Yeah. And what we mean by overeating, because there might be some people that are like, well, what's considered overeating, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of resources online about like calories and how much you're supposed to intake, right? Yeah. So you put in your age, your weight, your height.
And how active you are.
Yeah, and how active you are.
It's called caloriecalculator.net.
You can use that, or there's like a body. There's a bunch of, that's why I said, there's a bunch of different websites that have it on it. Mm-hmm. You put all that information in, and then you can just say like lose weight, maintain weight, or gain weight. So if you're underweight and you're not eating enough, that could be a helpful resource to figure out if you are eating enough, right? Mm-hmm. But the people that are overweight, like you put that in, you could say lose weight. And it'll tell you how many calories you're eating. So for me, I don't want to give an example because I don't want someone to take that number and put it on themselves. Let's just say for an example, someone puts it in. It's like average height, weight, whatever. The average amount of calories. I know a lot of times on like fast food, it'll say like 2,000 is the recommended. That's so general.
Yeah, so stupid.
There's a subset of people that need to be eating that much money or eating that many calories. Yeah. Some people it may be more, some people it may be less. So putting that in and then figuring it out. So let's say an average amount of calories per meal you should be eating is like 500 or 450, you know, somewhere around there, or close to 6 if you're a bigger male. Like it could be different. But you're eating 1,000 calories per meal. Per meal. And there's 3 meals in a day at least. And that's not counting snacks. That's overeating. Right? Mm. Like your body. And a lot of people could not think that they're overeating because they don't do it in one sitting. So this could also be you eating breakfast. And an hour later, you sit down and have a snack that's basically a meal. Yeah. This is just like pushing your body beyond what it needs for like basically to like heal yourself. You're like numbing it with food. You're numbing the things that you're going through with food. A lot of times that's what it is.
Yeah. And if you're sitting watching this episode saying, oh, I don't struggle with overeating. Like I'm good. I'm in good shape. No, this episode's still for you because you can be a glutton in other areas as well. So I'll give y'all an example. I don't know if I want to say I used to overeat. However, I did used to overuse alcohol like crazy. So I would always have the desire to just keep drinking, keep having one more. Same thing with weed. I would keep on wanting one more hit, one more. And this is what it trickled over to. And this is what I'm so thankful that God pulled me out of, is my gluttony in those areas transitioned into business. Because this is what it transitioned into. When I started my business back in 2021, I would be doing well. I would have clients. I would be having a great time. However, what always was in the back of my mind was, I need that one more. I need to chase that thing. I have the desire to do it one more time. And I don't believe that would have been the case if I wasn't such a glutton in those other areas. So, and it may not be food or drinks for you guys, but there could be an area of your life where it may not be food or drinks, like I just said, but you could be a glutton. So this could be, I don't know, you're at your job and you have the desire to get that next paycheck or that next raise, whatever it may be, just that next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be in the kitchen, but gluttony is far more than just food.
Mm-hmm.
The next kind of sub point I wanted to make, honey, was just how food can actually become an idol in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear this a lot. You'll hear you're going through a breakup or something happened, and your friend's like, oh, let's go out, let's go party. Yeah, let's go get drunk, or let's go out to Chili's. I don't know if people go to Chili's anymore. Let's go to, I don't know, Chick-fil-A and get a bunch of spicy chicken sandwiches, whatever, you know.
I'll come over, bring snacks. We can sit down, eat candy and chips. Yeah. And
those may, well, actually, the drunk part is bad. I'm not saying going to go get food is a bad thing, but what I am saying is when you turn to that instead of turning to God first,
mm-hmm.
that's when you should realize, okay, actually I do have a problem in mm-hmm. this area, and this is actually becoming an idol. And again, I'll give y'all an example. When stuff would go bad in my life, when I was building up my business, I would turn to social media validation. I would turn to, you know, getting more clients in my business. That's what I would turn to. I wouldn't turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in that point where when something goes wrong in your life, you got to ask yourself, what are you turning to? Are mm-hmm. you turning to food and getting drunk with your friends? Or are you turning to God first to settle your problems and then maybe going to go out with your friends? Because again, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you shouldn't go feast with your friends. No, the Bible actually encourages to go feast.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, if you're feeling sad and sorry, go eat a bunch of food. Eating a bunch of food is not going to make you feel better. I'm mm-hmm. just going to be the first one to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It may put a Band-Aid on it for a little bit, but it's not going to actually make you feel better. The way that's going to make yourself feel better is getting the revelation from God of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
This pastor I listened to, he was talking about getting news from your parents or grandparents dying. And he was like, here's the thing, what people don't understand is the Bible will not give you this is kind of what I talked about today, honey, on our ride home. It's like the Bible will not give you information about why your so-and-so died,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the Bible is not a hospital. It's not going to give your grandparents' medical record of why she had a heart attack at 96 mm-hmm. years old, right? The hospital is for that. Maybe they don't have it, but he said this. He said the hospital and the doctors will give you information And what the Bible is used for, it's used to give you revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying that to say, when you get bad news, or maybe, you know, your significant other breaks up with you or whatever it may be, that's information that was given to you. It may not be great information, or it may be great information. However, I would submit this and recommend you guys going to the Bible for revelation before going out to celebrate or mourn or grieve the loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because if if you grieve by eating a bunch of food or getting drunk, that's not encouraged in this book
mm-hmm.
at all. Now I'm not saying, you know, don't go out and eat food. I'm going to keep saying that because eventually someone's going to take it out of context. And I'm not saying go out and don't eat food. I'm saying you can do that, but I'm saying what's the first person you turn to?
Mm-hmm.
You turn to Jesus, or do you turn to your idols, which could be food?
Yeah, that's kind of what we talked about in our idol episode, mm-hmm. is like, what are you coping with?
Yeah.
Are you coping with him and his word, or are you coping with the things that you have no self-control in, mm-hmm. right? And this is kind of, I think, where fasting got started.
Yeah.
Is because they would fast for God.
Fast for God, yeah.
By not eating or giving up something, you know, like a lot of churches now will do the 21-day fast, whatever time of year they do it. Or if you still participate in Lent or whatever it is, and everyone's like, what are you giving up this year? It's like what you're supposed to do is when you're fasting from food or that drink or whatever it is,
music,
social media. Yeah, that was yours. Like whatever it is, when you're fasting from that and you have a desire to do it, that's when you go into your word, and it gets you in the routine of, okay, I want to do this, so I need to go into my Bible and I need to read.
Yeah.
Right? Like anytime you would get a desire to listen to rap music, you would pull out your Bible, mm-hmm. right?
No, I would listen to worship music, just any form of worship.
Yeah.
But
it's substituting. And then it gets you in that habit so that when you're not fasting, then you're already in the routine of wanting to be in his word.
Yeah, and it takes the desire away from you. I don't have the amount of desire I have to listen to rap music is like so low. When I hear a Lil Uzi Vert song come on my For You page, I want to vomit.
Yeah.
Because I understand all of his lyrics now.
Yeah.
I was suppressed by his lyrics when I was living in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now they jump out at me like little demons. I'm serious.
Yeah, I was on TikTok last night, and there was a video of like them asking people what they were listening to.
Yeah.
And it was a college campus in Hawaii. Okay, so it was just a bunch of young people listening to rap music.
Yeah.
But they would say the song, and then in the background they would play it so you knew what it was. And I knew some of the artists because I was familiar with that music before I gave my life to Jesus. But I haven't heard any of their songs in a long time, like their new ones. And they would play it, and I was like, it literally makes me cringe.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't believe people still listen to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't bother them.
Yeah.
Like, even before I gave my life to Jesus, I could not listen to like hard rap. Like, everyone joked because they were like, you like pop rap. Like, I can't stand like the hard rap.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Two of my favorite artists were Lil Baby and Gunna. Dude, I'll hear some of their songs come up on my For You page or Instagram or whatever, or maybe like a story pops up, and I'm like, this was a 4-second clip, and this man was talking about how he has prostitutes in his living room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't believe I used to listen to this.
I think it's so funny when you tell me that you used to listen to that kind of music, because I look at you and I'm like,
rap about this stuff too.
I can't imagine you listening or rapping.
Yeah, I used to make raps and I would rap about this stuff too. And it's like, I would rap about stuff I wasn't even living.
Yeah, that's like, what they do.
Yeah, well,
most of them.
Most of them, yeah. Some of them, it's, yeah, but anyways,
some of them, that's PG for them.
Yeah. And I'm not going to sit here and say all rap's bad. Some rap is good.
Yeah.
Most of it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we don't.
Yeah, that's a whole nother side topic.
We can make a series about music.
Yeah. I did an episode on what you watch, and I talked about music a little bit, like, in season one when I was by myself, because I don't want to get legalistic about it, but, you know, your eyes and your ears are the window to your soul.
Yeah.
So what are you looking at and what are you listening to? It just makes a huge difference. But anyways, yeah, back on topic.
Yeah, I don't know why we talked about that. yeah, that's our view on music, if y'all want to know. And if y'all are still listening to secular rap music, you know, honey, you want to know how Daniel said it to us when I was still at his church? He said, you want to know how a rap song is bad? Print out the lyrics and talk to your mom about it.
Oh.
See if you can get through the whole song.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, 95% of the songs you guys listen to rap-wise, you would feel... You could maybe get through the song, but also one thing, he said comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
I could not sit down at a table and read out the lyrics to my mother comfortably. Honey, it talks about bedroom stuff. It talks about prostitution. It talks about killing people.
Drugs.
Lots of sex.
Yeah.
Girls naked. It's like, okay.
And body parts.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you don't want to talk to your mom about how this person and this girl are having sex in the bedroom. I'm sorry.
Very graphic. That's
way too uncomfortable. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, some of y'all with, you know, hard hearts or whatever, maybe I couldn't. So that's when I knew, I was like, okay, well, I'm a glutton over this because I have the desire to do it and I know I need to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, here's the thing also, honey, is I would justify my desire for that by saying, well, this is how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the key thing. The point about being saved and giving your life to Jesus is not being the same person as when you came out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about being a different person and being more holy.
Mm-hmm.
So like Paul said this past Sunday, he was like, you want to know the will for your life? Romans 12:2,
mm-hmm.
and it says, "You're not conformed to the patterns of this world, but change the way you think, and then you'll be doing God's will, which is always pleasing, perfect, and I think it's holy."
Mm-hmm.
I have that verse memorized in like 4 different versions, but anyways, and that's the thing, is God's will is changing up the way you think. So how you thought was, I was born, and I was born in Memphis or Atlanta or Chicago. Rap music is very popular. I'm going to rap. I'm going to listen to rap music. Blah, 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 blah. Right? You get saved. Don't justify it by saying, well, that's how I was raised, so I'm going to keep listening to it. That's not what Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, if you want to do my will, change the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
You're not born there anymore. You're born again. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of being born again.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely changing who you were.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the same person you are now, when you give your life to Jesus, you're the same person in 10 years compared to when you gave your life to Jesus. You're not following the right Jesus.
Yeah.
You're just not.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that God's pulling a desire away from you about you overeating in the kitchen, you're not following the right Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to question your salvation or not, but
sanctification, man, is a process, yeah, but are you obeying the convictions?
Yeah, it's a process, but I'm also not going to sit here and allow my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to get fat.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sick of this crap.
Yeah.
Shoot, you're literally an image. We are the only image of God we have left.
Yeah.
Jesus is dead.
Yeah.
He is in heaven. All he has is his children, which is us.
Yep.
When people look at us, you need to think, does this represent Jesus? If you are fat, this may come off very harsh. I'm sorry. If you are very overweight and you are overeating like crazy, do you think people are going to look at you and be like, that person displays Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go another point and say, if John, our pastor, was on stage with a glass of whiskey, is he portraying Jesus correctly? Mm-hmm. No, he's not. Mm-hmm. If your pastor has one wife right here and his side piece right here talking to the pulpit, he doesn't display Jesus. Because mm-hmm. all of those are sins mm-hmm. in the eyes of God. And it sucks how we don't talk about this more.
It really does.
Because like we were saying in our walk, it's like gluttony is the most obvious sin. Mm-hmm. When you look at someone and they're fat, you're like, dang, that person struggles with overeating. Mm-hmm. But we just don't talk about it. It's mm-hmm. like, no, we need to talk about it more. It's mm-hmm. it's a serious issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, nowadays in the world, it's normalized.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's really unfortunate is every single thing that we are told in the Bible to do is flipped in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're making it. They're doing like a you do you kind of thing, right? So being gay is a sin. The world is full of pride, right? They have an entire month and they're normalizing it. It's normal for me. You should be okay with it because it's me, right? Abortion. God never wants one of his children to die when they don't even have a chance to live. Mm-hmm. Like you're taking their life from them. Mm-hmm. And the world's going to normalize it and say, well, it's my body, my choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with every single sin. This yeah. is exactly what happens with overeating and yeah. obesity, right? It's, well, you should just let me be me and be. It's like this is way far beyond a look.
Yeah.
Way beyond a look. And you and I talk about this all the time because I think a lot of times I can sit in this chair in my weight range that I'm supposed to be eating healthy. And I can easily look at someone overweight and say, what are they doing? Right. But it's like, I'm not judging their appearance. I'm judging their health.
Yeah.
If you can't go outside and play with your children because you're not taking care of your body and you have to say, oh, I got to go sit down. I got to go sit in my chair and relax because I can't get up and do anything active with your kids. Like that's what's worrisome.
Yeah.
If you get to the age of 60 and have high blood pressure and a heart attack because you're not taking care of your body and you still have so much life to live, like that's the part that's scary.
Yeah.
That's what we're addressing right now. I don't care if you have weight from having kids. It's a beautiful thing. If you're still in your weight range and you're taking care of yourself and you have a little flubber from having children, that is fine. I'm talking about the people that are constantly overeating and that are genuinely unhealthy as a human being and mm-hmm. having to constantly go to the doctor and their doctor's telling them you're just not healthy. Like what's going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, like that's what we're addressing when we talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I think now would be a good time for you to talk about the people on the other end of the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to go into a little bit about that, because Asher's been in the fitness industry for a long time and has witnessed a lot.
Yeah. Well, also people will look at their image as a god. Mm-hmm. They're in great shape and they're like, oh, I got in shape. Why can't they do it? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, y'all actually have the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just y'all are struggling with different sins. Mm-hmm. So I'm just as I was preparing for this is what I wrote down. I said, the ones who over-obsess about their body are just as bad as the people that are gluttons. It is sad to see that shame is brought to people who are struggling with gluttonous issues while the people making fun of them have idol issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the problem. One that has rock hard abs and, you know, is saying my body's the best, blah, blah, blah. And they're claiming to be a follower of Christ. I'm talking to believers, first off. I'm not talking to unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Unbelievers, I just pray that this message helps you. But if you are a believer in Jesus and you're catching yourself being like, oh, my body's sick. It's this, blah, blah, blah. Your issue is just as bad as the glutton person. And I'll tell you why. because you're not displaying an image of Christ either, because you have idol issues. And the difference is the person that has a glutton issue, theirs is physical. Their sin is physical. You can see it. The problem with your sin is internal. And you shouldn't be looking at that person who may be overweight. They're so lazy. They just, man, they just need to freaking get over it. Like, just get in shape. It's probably a lot more than that. It just sucks that you can see it. Because you saying that, dude, you got so much stuff that you're probably hiding that people can't see that you're hiding behind your body.
Yeah.
Because that's the that's a key thing, honey, is people will hide from their problems internally behind a physical body. Newsflash, I did it. Newsflash, 90% of the influencers that y'all follow on the internet that are fitness influencers, hey, they got a lot of problems. I've been in this industry for a very long time, and I'm here to call people out. I don't care. Like, y'all need to know, there are a lot of people in this industry that are messed up. So messed up. They're not some great God that people will look up to. No, they got a lot of issues too. And I still have a lot of issues I'm struggling with. I would go on the verge and say I'm almost traumatized by the fitness industry for how sinful and gross it actually is.
Another disclaimer, we're just going to keep saying this. We're not talking about this to shame anybody and to make anyone feel bad about the way that they look.
Thanks, honey. Michelle and I's point of this episode is to bring awareness to the situation.
Yes.
Because Michelle and I are both very much aware that people are, we're talking about Americans. In Europe, y'all are in shape. Y'all are fit. Y'all are good.
You guys don't have access to the food we have access to here.
So we're really just targeting, most of our audience is Americans. So we're really just targeting Americans. And this is just a really, really big issue. And yes, we're talking about your kids. We're talking about hanging out with them, other, all that good stuff. We're also talking about being a great image of who Jesus actually is. Because, again, our purpose is to spread the gospel to as many nations as possible. And let's be honest. If Scripture says treat your body as a temple and you're not doing so, do you think that that person that is curious about the gospel is going to take you serious? I mean, seriously.
That's and the example that you gave that we talked about the other day. That's like your pastor standing up there with two wives. Or a huge bottle of whiskey and a glass in his hand. He's just chugging it the whole episode or the whole sermon. It's like that is an open sin.
So and listen, I'm not saying this to be legalistic. I'm not here to shame anyone or condemn anyone. But you need to ask yourself, do you think that you're a good representation of Christ, and do you think people will come to Jesus because of you? Because people won't come to Jesus unless we share the gospel. I mean, Jesus shows up in dreams and stuff like that, but we can't rely on that for everyone. There's a reason why Jesus told us to spread the good news to all nations. What Scripture doesn't say is it doesn't say let Jesus do all the work. No, he needs our help. I mean, well, can he flip the world upside down like that? Of course. But he wants our obedience. And and like Michelle just said, in the same way, if you're overweight, you're not doing anything about it. You may be overweight, curious. Would you take a pastor serious who is trying to explain to you the good news? And he talks about cheating on his wife, and then you bring up, well, isn't that against what Jesus teaches? And he's like, oh yeah, but it's good. It's fine for me. That person just received a false gospel. That sucks. Or a false way of how Jesus teaches, not necessarily a false gospel, but, and in the same way, imagine someone coming to you and being like, why are you overweight? And you say, oh, it's just because of this, 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 this. Instead, being humble about it and say, it's a problem I'm struggling with right now, and I'm actually going to classes, I'm getting better with nutrition. They're going to take you so much more serious compared to your excuses, Because what you're doing is you're just excusing everything that is taught about in the Bible. And that person that's curious about Jesus now has become numb.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I'm not going to take you serious because you're not even taking the Bible serious.
Yeah.
Again, this is going to be a very hard message for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But this is a very serious, serious topic.
Yeah. Another thing that drives me crazy is, like, I've heard pastors multiple times make jokes about, like, not being able to control their food desires.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure one of your old pastors said it before, and he was like, well, it's not my fault if Ben and Jerry's would just stop making ice cream or something. Oh, yeah. And it's like, I get it's a joke.
Yeah.
But, like, in the same way, you just openly admitted that you have no self-control. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, we can make lighthearted jokes about that, or, like, you know, it's not my fault. There's just drive-thrus everywhere that I can just, like, go through. Like, you're in control of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, are you choosing to honor the Lord, or are you choosing to indulge in your personal desires? Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to mention is, like, the reason we're using gluttony as a term is because obesity means that you're overweight, but that's the result of you being gluttonous, right? So overeating is what causes obesity, right? So we're not going to target the end result of your sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
We're going to target the fact that you can't control how much you're eating. So in the same way, we're not going to target you're an alcoholic. Okay, let's back up. Why are you an alcoholic? Mm-hmm. Because you can't control your drinking.
Yeah.
Right? So it comes down to you not having the self-control in the area to figure out what you're eating, mm-hmm. and how much you're eating and how much you're supposed to be eating. Even a doctor, if you go to a doctor and they're like, you're overweight, ask them, what am I supposed to be eating? Like, they can probably help you as well. Like, they can maybe give you calories, or, you know, tell you at least the range. Mm-hmm. But there are so many resources, and Asher's heard this excuse a lot. We can talk about, like, the exercise part, right, too, because it's about eating how much you're supposed to, but also we should be honoring our bodies by at least just, like, going on a walk.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you walk 3 15-minute to 30-minute walks a day, like, in the morning, afternoon, and at night, like, you're going to hit your exercise, or, like, your walking goal, right? If you're not physically able to go to the gym, go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know? But a gym membership at minimum is $10 a month. Like, you can literally get a Planet Fitness membership for 2 Starbucks drinks a month. Actually, with the prices right now, 1 Starbucks drink. I can go a step further. A lot of people will complain about, well, food, healthy food's too expensive. You're spending more money eating out and at drive-thrus than you would if you went to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, try it out. For a week, only shop at the grocery store and don't eat out, and you will save money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of, I don't want to call them excuses because I don't want to out anybody and I don't want it to come off mean, but there's a lot of reasons behind why people can't control their eating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, the drive-thru is just, you know, way more convenient. I don't have time to meal prep. I work in an office. I've been there. I spent my Saturday nights about 3 hours meal prepping my food for the week. Mm-hmm. And it was worth it.
And hey, I'll go a step further and say, okay, you don't have time to meal prep, but you still go out and eat. Great. Go to Flex Pro Meals and order a month's worth of food.
Yeah.
And it's going
to
be
better. Factor's a good one.
Yeah. And okay, great. Order that. It's better. You can see the calories on there and you're not intaking a bunch of grease. Here's one other thing I wanted to say, honey, on that point. Because we are talking about excuses here. These aren't, you know, these are excuses, which is a good thing. People need to be called out for their excuses, I believe. I'm glad I get called out by, she calls me out like crazy. It's awesome. And here's another one. it's just not the right time for me to get my health in check.
Is it going to be the right time when you're in the hospital with health issues?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like, are you going to carry on with that the rest of I don't, like, hospital's one thing. I want you to imagine that you're at the feet of Jesus and he asks you, why couldn't you get your gluttony issues in control? And you tell him, I didn't have the time for it. Just wasn't the right time. I couldn't even imagine the look on his face. Because the thing is he knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You had the time for it. You were just lazy.
Or you just desired food more.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both of them go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I think you desire the food and you're lazy.
Yeah. But what I was saying is, like, there's a lot of resources nowadays mm-hmm. to help you out. Like, you can go online for free and find meals. And if you figure out your calories, find meals, like, track it, MyFitnessPal. There's so many resources nowadays. Don't get wrapped up in the fitness community online. A lot of times it can be unhealthy. I saw a video the other day and this girl was like, yeah, this girl's going to tell you all the stuff she eats in a day. And then she's going to sell you a bunch of multivitamins and stuff to supplement because she's not getting enough nutrients. Yeah. It's like, don't overconsume. That was me.
Yeah.
Early on in my fitness journey, when I first started lifting weights, I overconsumed fitness community like content. And it was girls that were 5'2". 110 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm almost 5'8". So what they were eating isn't what I need. Yeah. I need more than that. Yeah. I'm taller than that. Yeah. Right. And it was just really unhealthy because it made me have an unhealthy mindset to food. And then it would make me, like, when I got access to, like, tortilla chips, for example, because I went keto for a while and I, like, literally never ate any carbs.
Yeah.
And then the second I would get around, like, any source of carb, I would want to overindulge because I was not letting myself have it for so long.
And that's what I mean by, like, there's a lot of stuff that's not talked about in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
I don't know if, because again, I've been in the fitness industry for 5.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, over 80% of the fitness industry have binge eating disorders.
Yeah.
They don't share this because they want to be painted as the idol.
Yeah.
They want to be painted as this god. Guys, these women influencers you're looking at on Instagram, they may have what I eat in a day. It may be 2 or 3 days out of the week. These girls get drunk every single day of the weekend mm-hmm. and they'll binge eat ice cream and tortilla chips when their day's over.
Mm-hmm.
If they were actually eating that 1,200 calorie meal of egg whites and whatever they're eating every single day, they would be a twig.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have that big booty that y'all are looking for. No, they're eating their dang carbs.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah. But that's the sad thing about, like, over consuming.
Yeah.
Like, because, online stuff and not being guided. So my point of going on all of this, because this was something I learned on my own, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
because when I started my fitness journey, it was like 2019. It was right before COVID when I, like, really took it seriously, but I didn't know what to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just kind of, like, you know, winging it. And then I got to a point where I was under eating and then I was overeating. And then I was under eating and it just, like, kept going back and forth. And it wasn't me bulking and on a cut, which is, like, fitness terms. Like, it wasn't me doing that. It was just, like, I wasn't doing it on purpose. I just, like, didn't know what I was doing. Luckily, I figured it all out. Still learning. But if you're that person that's, like, I don't have time to sit down and figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
But I know it's an issue and I need help. Like, the purpose of this episode was to shine a light on an area that's not talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we're approaching this topic with our heart posture of wanting to help.
Yeah.
Right? It's not to shame, not to make you feel guilty, but if that's you that's struggling with this area and you're like, fix my health for a long time. This isn't about getting fit. This isn't about getting abs. This isn't about like competing. We're not talking about, we're yeah. talking about like general, I need to learn how to exercise and how to eat right. Like
you need to learn how to keep your temple holy.
Yes. Because a lot of times, well, a lot of times people will look at fitness coaches and be like, oh, they're just there to like shred you, basically, like make you shredded. That's not what it's for.
I have one client with a six pack.
Yeah.
And it's because he wants to step on stage. Yeah. Other than that, guys, everyone I coach is a dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or in their mid 20s, they work 9-to-5 jobs or, yeah. you know, they're a construction worker and they're out of shape and they're losing a lot of weight and they feel great now.
So if that's you and you need help, Asher is here to help you.
Yes.
Last plug. I am going to plug for him because I think he's the best and he does an amazing job. And I have overheard conversations with his clients. They know that I'm listening most of the time, but just the way that they talk about how much progress they've made and how like the conversations start with fitness and end on the topic of Jesus is just like amazing to see. And Asher's heart is always in the right place and he's always trying to help. So there okay. is a link in the bottom or at the top of the description. Actually, it's the first link to apply if that is you and you need help. And we hope that this episode helps you. We love you guys so much and we will see you next week on the Tripod.